This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a genuine pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we appreciate those of you that are watching today, especially if you're watching for the very first time. Today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're going to be looking at one of the prophets, the book of Isaiah, and we're going to be discussing the topic, Looks That Change. Looks That Change. Please stay tuned. Now today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and we want to pause long enough so you can learn more about the course and how you can learn how to receive the course.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from the sixth chapter of Isaiah, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thine lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And then I said, Here am I. Send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, see indeed, but perceive not. You know, there's some passages of Scripture that almost defy human comment. One of those is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That almost defies any kind of a human comment. I think another is John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think another of those texts would be the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then there's Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But you see, Isaiah chapter 6 almost defies our making any kind of human comment. It presents three looks in an individual's life that will change their life. Isaiah chapter 6, I believe, is the official call of Isaiah to the prophetic office. And as we look at this text, there are three things that surface. First of all, there's this looking up. He said it was in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. But it was not until Uzziah died that he said that he saw the Lord. Isn't it the case that sometimes It is when something terrible happens in an individual's life that's when they turn to the Lord. Regardless of why he turned to the Lord in the year that Uzziah died, he says that's when he did. You see, Isaiah seemed to be able to move very freely in the court of the king. And he may have been depending upon Uzziah and not on the Lord. I don't know. But I know that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and God's train filled the temple. Ought not the Lord fill the train and the temple of our lives? But as he looked, he saw seraphim. And there were angels, with each one having six wings. And with two of those wings, he would cover his face. Maybe that suggests reverence on the part of the angel. And then with two of those wings, he would cover his feet. And perhaps that's suggesting his humility. And then with two, he did fly, perhaps suggesting the service of the angels. But they hid their faces, respecting the holiness of God. We need to have a great deal more respect for God in our day, to fear God and to keep God's commandments, to fear God and to respect His holiness and His character. Romans 3:18 says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." That is a sad thing. And what would we ever do without God? He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone." The angels began to sing. And they're singing, they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Well, God indeed is a holy God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 16, He said, "Be you holy, for I am holy." In Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 and following, Paul wrote, "That which may be known of God has been manifest unto them, for He showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But when they knew Him as God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." That you see, people fail to glorify God. The whole earth today is full of the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork, Psalms 19 and verse 1. We see God in the golden sunset. We see God in the beautiful sunrise every morning. We see God in the rainbow that is in the heavens. We can hear the voice of God in the song of the bird, and in the murmur and the ebbing and the flowing of the tide, in the murmuring of the brook. We see God in the beautiful flowers that bloom, and we see God in the face of a newborn baby. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And yet, some people are blind to it. And they're willfully blind to it. Paul said, "When they knew Him as God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were they thankful, but their foolish heart became darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And so the whole earth is full of the glory of God. But sometimes people willfully close their eyes to God's glory. Now the seraphim began to sing, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of His glory." And we do not see His glory because we close our eyes to the magnificence and the glory and the greatness of the God of heaven. So he began to look up, and he saw the Lord sitting on His throne. But then in verses 5 through 7 of Isaiah 6, there was this looking inward. He saw himself. Sometimes, you know, looking at yourself can be very painful. And it was painful for Isaiah because he saw his sinful life. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." There are three things that I believe Isaiah saw. Number one, he saw his sinful life. See, he said, "I am undone." The fact of the matter is, all of us are undone without the Lord. In John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." The closer you get to God, the clearer our imperfections. You can tell how far a person is from God because they'll begin to tell you how good they are. They'll begin to brag on themselves. But let me tell you, the closer you get to God, the clearer are all of your imperfections and your sins. So he saw his sinful life. That's not very easy to look at. You know, the Bible says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Maybe it'd do us good to look in the spiritual mirror today and to look at our sinful life. Then secondly, he saw sinful lips. He said, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And he saw so he saw the way other people were. And then he saw sinful living. And he realized how far he was from being what God would have him to be. But then Isaiah was cleansed. One of the seraphim came and took a coal, a live coal from the altar with the tongs, and placed it on his lips to cleanse his lips from sin. You see, we are in need of cleansing as well. There's only one way we can ever be cleansed, and that's by the Lord. He is the great cleanser. Listen to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, and this incidentally is written to Christians and what Christians should do when they mess up. And Christians are not perfect. They sometimes mess up. They sometimes say things they ought not to say, do things they ought not to do, leave off things they ought to be doing, and we sin. But 1 John 1 and 9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That God is a God who's willing to cleanse us of our sins. Cleanse us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the 7th verse of 1 John chapter 1, he says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light." Well, what is the light? Well, verse 5 says God is light. You see, if I'm walking in fellowship with God, in fellowship with Jesus the Son, walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, in other words, if I'm walking in harmony with the Godhead, walking in fellowship with the Godhead, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with God, and I can have fellowship with anyone with whom God has fellowship. He said, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." The word "cleanseth" means a continual process of cleansing. Here's an individual who has become a Christian by believing on Jesus, because Jesus said that in John 8:24. They become a Christian by repenting of their sins, because the Bible teaches that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. They've confessed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and made that good confession of Jesus as being the Son of God, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And they have been baptized into Christ in order that their sins may be washed in the blood of Jesus, Acts 22 and verse 16. But Christians are not perfect people. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, as well as verse number 10. We are subject to making mistakes. But here is the promise God has made, The idea that you can be saved this morning and lost this afternoon, if you're trying to live the Christian life, is not Bible. That's anti-Bible. 1 John 1:7 teaches that if I'm walking in that light, if I'm trying to live the Christian life to the best of my knowledge and my ability, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. It just keeps us clean of our sins. There was a preacher by the name of Guy Woods. He illustrated it like this. He said, you're in your car and it starts raining. So you turn on the windshield wiper. And as long as the windshield wiper is on, it keeps your windshield clear so you can see where to drive. But if you were to turn the knob that turns it off, then you've ceased cleansing the windshield. And as long as we're walking the light, as a child of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is keeping us clean, pure in that blood every day in the living of the Christian life. And I believe that there may be things that we do unknowingly at times that break the heart of God. But I believe if we're trying to live the Christian life and we're walking in that light, that blood is keeping us clean. Just like Isaiah needed his sins cleansed and purged, you and I need it today. But you're going to have to come to Jesus to get that. And when He cleanses us of our sins, and if we live the Christian life, walking in the light, or someone says, well, what's going to happen if you cease walking in the light? Maybe you started out really well and you were filled with zeal and fire and enthusiasm for God, and you're trying to talk to everybody about giving their life to Jesus, and you never miss a service of the church, and you just want to do all the good you could for as many people as you could. But now the fire has gone out. Well, let me ask you, what happened when you turned off the off and on knob on the windshield? The windshield stopped cleansing the windshield. And when we get out of the light, we're not walking in fellowship with God. How could a person be walking in fellowship with God if they're living, gone back into a life of sin? But if we walk in the light, there's the prophecies in this passage. There's the condition in this passage. If we walk in the light, Jesus' blood is continually, constantly cleansing us of our sins. Let me read a passage to you from the book of Romans. It's in the 4th chapter of Romans, verse 8. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. There's some man, there's some individual against whom the Lord will not keep a record of his or her sins. Who is that person? It's that person that's walking the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is constantly cleansing them of their sins. There's a friend of mine by the name of Dr. Cecil May. And Dr. May is one of the most intelligent men that I know. He's very knowledgeable of the Bible. I'd call him a Bible scholar. And so one day I wanted to quote Dr. May on one of my television programs, and I'm going to do that again today. So I called him. I said, Cecil, I want to ask you a question. And because I want to quote you on television, I said, now, if a Christian, they've obeyed the gospel, they believed in Jesus, they repented of their sins, they were baptized into Christ, they're living the Christian life, doing all they can, they're walking in the light, and that individual dies, and they face God on the day of judgment, how many sins are they going to have to answer for on the day of judgment? And his answer was, none. And that's exactly right. You see, God is keeping us clean of sin if we live the Christian life. But the trouble is, there are those that have dropped out in living the Christian life. Paul said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And it's the truth that will make you free, John 8:32. And so you may have been living the Christian life in a splendid way in the past, but what about right now? Have you let things get in your way? Have you gone back instead of going forward in the living the Christian life? Do you need to do what 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, that if we confess our sins, we confess our shortcomings, our blunders, our mistakes, our failures, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all sin. The word that is translated cleanse comes from a word that has been used in several different ways. It is from that word that we get the word catharize or catharsis. In counseling, the catharsis method of counseling is where you get to asking questions. You need to let the person that you're talking to or counseling talk it out and get it out of their system. They're purging it out of their heart. And then to catharize something means that you purge it or you cleanse something and you make it pure. God is able by the blood of Jesus to give us to catharize, as it were, our hearts and make them pure and clean. And if we continue walking in the light every day and living the Christian life, He can do just that. So Isaiah was looking in. He saw himself. He saw the need for cleansing. But then Isaiah took a third look. Now he looked up and he saw the Lord sitting on His throne. And he saw that God was holy. It made him see that he was undone. And he saw how sinful he was. And he saw that he needed cleansing. And one of the angels came and he purged his lips of sin. And we need purging as well. And it happens through the blood of Jesus. But then the third look he saw was a looking out. Notice in verse 8 he says, the Lord asked the question, Who shall go for me? And who am I going to send? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. And Isaiah asked, how long do you want me to go, Lord? And the answer was, as long as is needed. But we need to go on God's errands today. And on as long as there's one lost soul on this earth, we still have a job to do. You say, how long are you going to speak on getting to know your Bible? From the standpoint of age, I really don't know. It won't be but a few weeks and I'll get into the 80s. And so I really have no idea how long that's going to be. I'm going to leave that up to God. How about that? Why don't you as well? You say, I don't know. But as long as there's somebody out there that needs to hear about Jesus, we have a job to do. We need to look out and we need to have the attitude of Isaiah when the Lord said, who am I going to send? Isaiah here said, here am I, send me. You know, today in church work, I've learned a lot of people to answer that like that. Well, you know, I'm really busy. Why don't you use somebody else? I've got things going on right now that I can't let turn loose. Why don't you get somebody else? I just really don't have the time. I've often wondered, when people reason that way, are they going to find time to die? And I'll tell you, they are going to find time to die. We need to make time for God's work. We don't find time to do anything. We make time to do it. I don't find time with my family. I make the time for my family. I don't find time to help others learn about Jesus. I make the time to help others learn about Jesus. You see, we need to have that attitude, here my Lord, I want you to use me. And we need to keep doing God's work as long as there's life within our bodies. And as long as the earth stands, there will still be lost people that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw the people. And he saw that sometimes people don't want to hear what you've got to say. Sometimes people don't like what you've got to say. But we cannot stop. We cannot cease the work for God. We need to look up and see the Lord today. I don't know of anything that our modern world needs any more than a fresh vision of God. We need to not only look up and see God, we need to start looking at ourselves today. We need to look within. And when Isaiah looked within, he said, I'm undone. I'm a sinful man. And when we look at ourselves, we see that we need cleansing. And then we need to look out to other people. Don't live a narrow, straitened life where the only person you're ever thinking about is yourself, because there are people that need you. And as long as the earth lasts, people are going to need Christians to reach out to them and help them. There are children right now that need instruction. Children that need food to eat, clothes to wear. They might even need a place to sleep. They're living homeless lives with their parents. There are so many needs in the world today. And sometimes I get to thinking about that. I'm going to make an admission now. I get to thinking about all of the needs. And it makes me feel so helpless that I can't reach out and help all of the needs that are out there in the world today. God's people are here for a reason. We're here to glorify God, and we're here to help other people. And if we can't do that, what's our reason for existence? I want to help all people everywhere to find out what the Bible teaches we must do to have our hearts right in the sight of God. And I know one thing, it's going to take Jesus to do it. It's going to take the blood of Jesus to do it. And we're going to have to apply the blood of Jesus to the sins in our lives. And we do that by doing what the Bible says and obeying the gospel of Christ. And I want to help you to do that. But I want to help as many people with the problems they have in their lives. And Jesus Christ is the problem solver. There was a man who went to hear another preacher one day. This is a true story. And the preacher was talking about the need for preaching the gospel. Just like I feel a need to preach the gospel. And he got up and he said, made this statement to the church. We need to start a gospel meeting, and we need to preach for 30 days. Young man went to him afterward. He said, I'm ashamed of you. He said, we need to start a gospel meeting, and we need to preach till Jesus comes. That's the way it ought to be. There's so much to do. I want to thank you for listening today, and I hope that you've benefited from what we've had to say today. Become a child of God. Do it today. Let us help you. Call us if we can. I want to encourage you to call for the free Bible correspondence course. And right now, pick up the telephone and call. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.